This is an ABC podcast.
Hello, this is CoronaCast, a daily podcast that's all about answering your questions about coronavirus. I'm Tegan Taylor, a health reporter from the ABC Science Unit.
And I'm Dr. Norman Swan of RN's Health Report.
So, Norman, the number of cases is continuing to rise in Australia.
Yeah, it is. And the worrying statistic here is what's the doubling rate? And, you know, we've had an influx of people from the Diamond Princess and other things. But, you know, preliminary, the doubling rate could be every couple of days, and it doesn't take long for a doubling rate, you know, this is high school arithmetic, to turn into quite large numbers. But we're not panicking yet, but it is a little bit worrying how quickly it seems to be escalating, but it's still very low numbers.
So we start every CoronaCast answering your questions. You can send them in via abc.net.au/coronavirus. And we've been getting lots of questions about face masks. Randy's asking whether a face mask actually protects you at all.
So it confers some protection, but the question is really about resources here. The protection it confers you in a public place where you're only going past people, and we've got very few people in Australia with it in a country of 25-odd million people, The chances of passing somebody and interacting with them intimately for 15 minutes or so is highly unlikely. And that's a situation where a mask might help you. So a mask doesn't help you in general. Where it does help is if you've got coronavirus. It does help to reduce the droplet spread to other people, so you should wear a mask. And if you're a healthcare worker looking after somebody, or you're a dentist, you do need to wear a mask to protect yourself there. Again, for corona. But a lot of the, and we'll come back to this later with some new research, a lot of it is about washing your hands absolutely regularly, and preferably with soap and water, but also with hand sanitizer if that's more convenient.
A lot of the advice that I've seen around is about washing your hands, definitely, and trying to avoid touching your face. Does face mask make you more or less likely to get your hands on your face?
Well, that's a very good question. I don't think anybody knows the answer to that one. But they've done studies where they've videoed people and actually monitored how often they touch their face without even thinking and realising it. And it happens frequently. And even when they know they're being filmed for that reason, their hands still go to their face. You've got an itchy nose. And even as I talk about this, you get itches, you want to scratch.
I'm so aware of it. I touch my face constantly and I can't stop.
You know, unless you sort of handcuff yourself, I think you are going to touch your face.
So speaking of touching things, fruit in the supermarket. We had a question yesterday about envelopes in the mail. Today we're asking about fruit. If someone's got coronavirus and they pick up an apple and they have a look at it and they put it back again and then you pick up that apple, could you catch coronavirus from that apple?
Well, you could in theory, I suppose. I mean, I don't think anybody studied fruit and food, but you could in theory. I think you just need to be prudent and wash fruit and vegetables before you. I mean, most people do that anyway, and certainly wash your hands. Again, there are so few people in Australia at the moment with coronavirus. The likelihood that you're going to pick up an apple touched by someone with coronavirus is vanishingly small. Buy a lottery ticket, your chances are higher.
Right. And Jane's asking about, let's say someone in your family has caught coronavirus. Does everyone in the family, are they all quarantined? How does the isolation and quarantine thing work at the moment?
So you need to differentiate between contacts with somebody with coronavirus versus somebody who has coronavirus. So if you have contact with somebody, let's say that in your work you've had contact with somebody with coronavirus, you need to go home and be isolated. And in your home, so you're not diagnosed with coronavirus yet, or you may not be at all. In your home, you're supposed to be isolated for 14 days, and you need to, and ideally, and it's really hard for some people, to isolate yourself from the rest of the family so that you're in a room by yourself, and you're washing your hands regularly, ideally using a separate bathroom. You know, this is stuff for people who've got lots of money. But but if, in fact, you have coronavirus and you've been in intimate contact with members of your family, then the chances you've spread it are reasonably high. And then I think then the recommendation would be that the family would be, because you are a direct and intimate contact with somebody with coronavirus, and that the family would be isolated. But you've got to have to take advice on that. There's a national helpline for coronavirus. There's lots of information available. But if you're just a contact and you're going home to be isolated, then you just don't want to be mixing with the rest of your family, if that's possible. But if you're living in a one-room apartment, tough to do.
it's so complicated, it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out over the next few weeks and months.
Yeah. A lot of it depends on whether you've got it or not versus being a contact. The way it slows down is contacts are found, isolated, and isolated from other people around them, so they stop spreading it around. And you don't want to be contaminating the rest of the family, so you want to try to be isolated in your home.
So how about hospitals? How are they going to prioritise these patients? What happens to people who are just sick with other things that aren't coronavirus?
Where it's going to get to, and it's already getting there, is people are going to have to stay at home, take advice from their doctor. There are going to be fever clinics in some parts of Australia where you can go and be tested, and they will have precautions around those fever clinics. So it's important that people do get tested, and the mechanism for doing that is going to vary in different parts of Australia. But some hospitals will develop these clinics where you actually go and can do it, and then they won't admit you if you're otherwise well. And the vast majority of people will be otherwise well, and you'll be looked after at home. There's nothing much to look after. It's like having a cold or the flu. But then if you're starting to get sick, and the severity of the illness does get worse, the people who are going to get really sick, it gets worse after a few days. And if you're getting sick, then you will be admitted. But the system will not be able to cope with isolating everybody who's going to come down with the virus, who's only having mild symptoms or none at all.
So lots of people are asking us about how to protect themselves. That makes perfect sense. And one of the questions was around whether there's things that we can do to boost our immune system. Are there medicines or, is eating lots of fruit and vegetables going to make a difference?
Look, a healthy diet is always good. So smoking is really bad for your immune system. So if you're a smoker in this environment, use the coronavirus pandemic, and I'm not sort of bullshitting here. This is just to get you to stop smoking. There is good evidence that smoking affects your immunity. Smoking affects your respiratory tract and damages the immune system along your respiratory tract. So it's quite likely, as a smoker, you are going to be more susceptible to this virus. So you should stop. Don't inhale anything abnormal apart from air. And so that's the first thing. The second thing is, look, you eat a healthy diet, and that is going to help your immune system, which is not a lot of red meat, white meat, lots of vegetables, lots of colour. But the stuff that you would do anyway is what you would do. But there is no known recipe for boosting your immune system. It's kind of known what reduces your immune system a little bit. So if you're an elite athlete and you're doing very intensive exercise, your immune system does get a bit affected. But for you and I going to the gym once a day and doing 45 minutes, there's no effect at all.
I definitely do that.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. You're a very good person to you.
So, Norman, you were telling me about an interesting paper that you'd read about how this virus spreads on surfaces.
Yeah, this came out a day or so ago. And this study looked at three patients in Singapore and looked at how it was spread on surfaces. And we got a question on that yesterday. Mm-hmm. And on two patients, and they did samples before and after. And from two of the patients, they didn't get much in terms of positive findings. And in fact, two of the patients were reasonably unwell, really were moderately unwell. And one patient, which they call patient C, was 5 days into the illness and was mildly unwell, really wasn't unwell at all. They got the positive samples from patient C, the one who was mildly unwell. And this is really interesting, a bit scary. So they found, for example, that the toilet bowl and sink samples were positive and that his stool samples were positive. So in other words, this is early evidence that the SARS-CoV-2, that the virus that causes COVID-19, does infect the bowel and can be spread in the stool. Again, only one patient, but it was positive there and explains why the toilet bowl. Now, people have suspected this might be the case because it happens with other viruses of this kind. Interestingly, this was in a hospital, the air outlet fan. The storage area over the sink for the protective gear was positive. The surface of the front of shoes of one of the attendants was positive.
Oh my God.
And door handles in the toilet bowl, as I said before, the internal sink, an examination table, locker, chair, light switches, stethoscope.
Oh, my gosh. if this wasn't a reason to wash your hands, you now have one.
Well, and in a hospital situation, to really clean the area and be pretty vigilant. And it means, of course, that if we get to the point where a lot of people are at home, you've got to be pretty vigilant with surfaces because that casual contact and, how you deal with that, I don't know. But it shows you that when you're spreading it, it goes everywhere. So, that's fantastic news to end this CoronaCast.
Thanks for listening to CoronaCast. It's our daily podcast that's all about answering your questions about coronavirus. And we want to answer as many of your questions as we can. So go to abc.net.au/coronavirus and ask us one.
And if you've enjoyed the podcast, tell a friend and please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Every review helps other people find us. You can read Tegan's stories on the ABC News website and you can hear me on the Health Report on RN. See you on Monday. Bye, Tegan.
Bye for now.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.